You've tuned into His Name Ministries Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome. Thank you for being a part, joining with me tonight on this Friday night, beautiful Friday night. I just flown in from Tampa, Florida. Was at Dr. Rodney Howard Brown's conference, powerful conference. It was busy, action-packed. The Lord moved. So right now, let me know where you're watching from, tuning in from. Thankful for my brother-in-law helping me with the setup today. If you're watching, wherever you're watching from, Facebook, YouTube, like I said, just flown in right now from Tampa, Florida. I was at Dr. Rodney Howard Brown's conference. Powerful. The Lord has put some things on my heart. Kind of wanted to share about it. Even Illinois, awesome. All in church. That's where I'm at. My mother-in-law's watching. Even during the conference, the Lord has put some things on my heart, things that I've seen come to pass. Things I believe God for come to pass. How did it happen? How did it work? It's mostly ministry related, and it's so vital because I meet a lot of ministers. I meet a lot of seasoned ministers that have been doing it for a long time, and then I meet a lot of people that just started. And there's quite a difference between the seasoned ministers, the seasoned pastors, and then people that are not so seasoned. And things that we need to learn, things I'm learning. And let us know where you're watching in from, tuning in from. So I just want to share from my heart. Not exactly sure how it's going to go, but the Holy Spirit knows. So Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for what you have done, what you are doing. Thank you for the conference, Lord. Thank you for your anointing that breaks every yoke. Thank you for the presence of the Lord. And you said, Lord, in your word, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. We thank you, Lord, for that tonight. Have your way, Holy Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, by the anointing. We need the anointing. We need men and women of God anointed by the Holy Spirit, not relying on their own strength or their own ability, but you, Holy Spirit. I'm reminded, Lord, in Ephesians, it talks about how our lives are called to be advertisements of the power of God. Lord, let my life be an advertisement of the power of God. The people watching, the people tuning in, let their lives be advertisements of the power of God. Everywhere we go, we advertise how much of a good God we serve. How our God is real. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's full of power. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to share a little bit from my spirit tonight, talking about ministry, the protocol about ministry, and just kind of dig into it. You know, I grew up, I always tell people, I didn't just grow up in a Christian home, but I grew up in a ministry home, a ministry family. Everyone in my family, a lot of them are preachers. And I'm thankful for that. And even my grandmother, Dr. Billy Brim, I traveled with her for over 4 years, took care of her as a personal assistant, meeting other powerful men and women of God. And there's a way that you have to act. There's a way that you have to operate when you're in those situations. You know, God's not going to trust you to be in those situations if you're going to mess it up, or if you're going to be talking all about yourself, or you're going to try to make it an opportunity where it's a business opportunity for you. No, it's knowing how to, like I say, navigate through the waters. There's times where you don't talk. I was brought up, you know, when I'm around powerful men and women of God, you don't talk. You don't blab unless they talk to you. And it's an honor thing. It's not, you know, some people will say, oh, they're just people. They're just people. No, they're not just people. They're anointed servants of the Most High God. and you have to respect it, and you have to honor that. So there's ways to go about it. Hello, I'm in New York City. Thank you so much for being a part. So I want to share a little bit about it because I feel like the next generation, my generation, they don't really know all this stuff. And we need to know it. We need to have wisdom. And it says in James, we can ask God for wisdom. Wisdom how to operate in ministry. Wisdom of when to talk, when not to talk. Wisdom of how to go about things. Because, you know, there could be doors that the Lord opens for you. We're all believing God for those, right? And I'm talking more in the ministry line of things because that's what I do. I'm a minister. I grew up in church. I grew up in ministry. So that's kind of what I know. But you can apply it to a lot of different areas in your life. There's things that, you know, we're all believing God for open doors, opportunities. But you don't want those doors to open up or those opportunities to open up and you're in that situation and then you just blow it. You mess it up because you get in the way. Your flesh gets in the way. It wasn't anointed. It wasn't the Spirit. Like Abraham. Abraham was promised by God a son, Isaac. Thank you so much, Janice, for being a part. He was promised by God a son, Isaac. It looked like his wife, there's no way. By going what he was looking at, he was going by his sight, you know, there's no way my wife can bear a son. Even though God said it, even though God promised it, I'll have a son. There's no way naturally she can. What happened? He tried his own way. He tried to make it happen on his own and it failed miserably. You and I cannot try to make things happen on our own. It can't be something of the flesh, because if it's of the flesh, it won't be fruitful. It won't be prosperous. And it could take you back several steps when God is saying, no, I'm going to put you, I'm going to open these doors. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make a way where there is no way. And we've got to make sure that the things that we're believing God for, the opportunities, the doors, when those happen, we don't step through it and blow it. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Good evening. Thank you for watching on YouTube. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And we don't say anything unless the Lord puts it on our heart to say anything. And we just listen. And I can give you so many opportunities, and I've been brought up that way. And, you know, you respect the man of God. You respect the woman of the Lord. If they talk to you, you respond. But you don't, when you're with them, you don't just tell them 100,000 things that you're going through and the latest revelation that you have. No, you don't do that. You just be there. You enjoy the presence of the Lord. You talk to the Lord. And if they want to talk to you, the Holy Spirit will prompt them to talk to you. And then you just listen and you just respond. You know, when I'm in those situations, and I've been around powerful men and women of God, I always say this, there's not one person I haven't, that I've desired to meet that I haven't met. I've been with them. I've sat with them for hours. And it's only the Lord. But when I'm around them, I'm like, I'm always telling myself, Lord, what do you want me to say? How do you want me to respond? It's not about me, Lord. What can I do to honor them? What can I say? Because I don't want no flesh words. I don't want something just because my mind says I want to talk about this and then I go after it and then it's just not fruitful. No, I want words from the Lord. And I feel like the generation, my generation, a lot of them don't know that stuff. I'm around a lot of young people, a lot of ministers. They try to make things happen on their own. They look at ministry. They look at meetings as an opportunity to have connections, to meet people, which that happens. But there's a right way to go about it. And the Lord will establish those connections. He'll make it happen, not you. If you try to make it happen, it won't be fruitful. It won't be blessed. Yeah, it might open a door or two for you, but it won't last. The first time I ever preached, one of the first times I ever preached, it was at this pastor's church, and he was the president of a huge organization. He still is. So after the meeting, we had a powerful time, powerful move of the Holy Spirit. we were at dinner and he asked me, he said, Brandon, here I'm a young minister. He goes, Brandon, how do you go about meetings? How do you go about getting meetings and preaching at churches? And I just told him, I said, you know what? The Lord's called me to preach. He's called me to minister. He'll open up the right doors for me. Not saying I won't do anything, but I believe he'll put me in places. He'll put me in situations where the Lord will speak to a minister's heart or a pastor's heart. And then he will establish that connection. So I told him about that. And I said, I don't want to be one of those preachers. I don't want to be one of those ministers where I go up to all the pastors and say, hey, I have a word for your church. Hey, I'm coming to your area. I'm passing through next week. I have a word for your church. No, I want everything. And this is in all my life, this is my goal. I want everything to be pure and I want my motive to be right. That should be your motive. That should be something you desire. Purity. And everything I do, my motive is clean, is clear, and it's not shady. You can't be shady, can't be, people like to use the word sketchy. No, I answer to the Lord. Ultimately, that's who we answer to. We answer to the Lord. So I told him about that. I said, you know what? I've been in ministry. I've seen people do things. I've been around it. And I believe that the Lord will establish those connections for me. He'll put me before people's faces. And if I'm called to preach at places, the hand of the Lord will be in it. And I'll have a witness in my spirit. The pastor will have a witness in their spirit. And it will happen. He looked at me. This is when I first started. This is when I had nowhere to preach. He said, Brandon, here's a man of wisdom. Here's a man that's the president of a huge organization. He said, Brandon, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. He said, I've been in ministry for 50, 60 years. And the other way, he said this is the words he said. The other way, it might have some connections. It might build some bridges, but most of all, it will burn more bridges than build them. I don't want to burn bridges. I don't want to look funny in people's eyes. I always say this, when people see me, they see the Lord. When they hear me, they'll hear the Lord. I want my motive to be pure. And I don't want to be funny. So that's the way I go about it. And it's so vital. Like I said, meetings, going to meetings, you're going to meetings to get full, to get touched by the Lord, to get touched by the anointing. I just flew in right now from Tampa Bay, Florida, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown's. I go there. When I fly there, my number one thing I go to do, first of all, I'll tell you what it is. I go to sow a seed. That's one of my big ones. Destiny and I, we sow offerings. We sow big. We sowed these last few days, we sowed a lot of money, and I'm thankful and I'm honored. And Destiny told me, she said, this is our second year going. She said, Brandon, we sowed more than our first year. I said, yes, we did. Isn't that awesome? She said, yes. And she goes, we should make it a goal every time we come that we sow more each year. That's a good goal to have. That's not a sketchy goal. That's not a cheap goal. We serve El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. I'm going to go and here's the opposite. I'm going to go to the meetings to establish connections and try to have all these pastors take me out to lunch. And then I'll go there. And once I get the connections, I'll leave. No, I go there to sow a seed. That's one of my priorities. And then it's also to be filled, to get touched by the Lord, and also direction. Things, you know, maybe questions or things I have in my heart that I'm believing God for or what to do next. I'm believing when I go, when I sit in the atmosphere, when I sit under the anointing of God, those questions will be answered. Hallelujah. You should have that mindset when you go in meetings, when you're in spending time with the Lord, that you're just sitting there. It might feel like you're just sitting there, but when you're in that anointing, when you're in that atmosphere, the questions you have in your heart, the situation maybe you're going through that you might not understand with your natural mind, you need to know that those questions will be answered. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Doesn't say that we shall be in confusion or shall not know what to do. No, we shall not want. He said, my people, my sheep, they hear my voice, and a voice of a stranger they won't follow. So that's what I expect. That's what I believe. I go to meetings to sow, and I go to be under the anointing, to sit in the anointing. Whether if I feel like I'm changing or not, I know I'm being fed. My spirit man is being fed. We were there for 2.5 days. Each day we were in over 8 hours of meetings. So we were easily in 20 hours of Holy Ghost revival meetings in this 2.5 days. I was in the atmosphere, saturating the atmosphere. Things were happening to me, whether if I knew it or not, whether if I felt it or not. I know me being there, I'm changing, and I can tell I'm changed. And every year when we go to meetings, we're always changed. We're always built up. That's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're getting blessed, you can comment, whether if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Faith is being deposited. My physical man was not being fed. We were so busy, we barely had time to eat lunch. But my spirit man, you are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. Our priority is to feed the spirit man. That's how you are going to grow in the things of God. If you don't feed your spirit man, you will not grow. You can have everyone pray for you. You can have everyone lay hands on you. And that's great. I believe God in that. But you have to feed yourself. And your flesh doesn't want to pray. Your flesh doesn't want to read. Oh, Brother Brandon, I have this problem. I just don't want to read the word. I don't want to worship the Lord. There's times I don't want to. But you don't be led by your flesh. You're called to be led by the Spirit. And you have a spirit, and you have a flesh. They go at each other, and you got to make sure the number one priority is to feed your spirit. If you want to be led by the Spirit of God, you got to feed your spirit. You do that by the Word of God, by the anointing. So I'm talking a little bit about protocol and ministry. How does it work? And when you have a pure motive, when it's not about you being seen by someone, or if I know people that will give offerings and they'll write the offering out, and let's say they write it out for the check for $500, they'll raise it up, and let's say you're behind them and they point the envelope towards you so you can see what they give, or they'll tell you what they give. And that's good. They should be excited about it. But your priority, your motive is not for people to see how much you give. Your motive is, Lord, I love you with all my heart. Without you, I couldn't give one penny. And I want to give you everything. My priority, my motive is to sow into you, Lord. Not sow into new shoes all the time and all that, which is great to have that. I have that. But my motive, my priority is, what can I give to the Lord? When you add up our cost of us flying there and hotel and car and then offerings, it's thousands and thousands of dollars. But look, how do I look at it? I look at it as I'm sowing unto the Lord because I love Jesus. And when you get your motive like that, when it's a pure motive, the Lord will bless you. I can talk so much on this, but I want to share about 3 years ago, I was living in Hollywood, California, and we had our apartment there. And you know, Destiny and I, maybe it was about 4 or 5 years ago, Destiny and I, you know, in that time, we were really trusting God. We weren't calling people, let people know what we were believing God for. No, we trust God. We were putting our faith in our Father, not people. We were sowing seed, and we had some needs in our life, and we needed the Lord to help us. And I made a decision. I'm not going to go to people. Yes, God uses people, but I'm not going to go to people, and I'm not going to hint. I'm not going to call them. No, I put my faith in the Lord. It says that if you put your faith in the Lord, you put your trust in the Lord, you will be blessed. If you put your trust in man, it's a curse. Your trust, your faith cannot be put in man to provide your needs. No, your trust, your faith has to be put into God to meet all of your needs. So I'm really just seeking the Lord. I'm praying. We're sowing seed. I'm encouraging myself. I'm stirring up myself up Did my flesh want to? No, my flesh wanted to complain, murmur, like the children of Israel. My flesh wanted to do other things, but we're not led by the flesh. This is when you're in these situations, this is a great opportunity to grow, to grow. You can either grow or you can backpedal. I want to grow. I don't know about you. I want to push on. I want to persevere. I made a decision when I hear people preach, ministers preach, and they tell about testimonies that God's doing in their lives. I made a decision when I sit there in the audience, even as I was a little boy, I made a decision. I want my testimonies. I want testimonies like that man of God. I want testimonies like them. How do you get those testimonies? Put your faith in God. Trust God. Do what they do. So praise God when you don't want to. All those stories you hear about these people, what they went through in their beginning days, these are real stories. So I want my stories. You need to be encouraged. I'm going to have stories like them. I'm going to have testimonies to tell people, to encourage other people. And we have. I could tell you testimony after testimony. I could spend the next 3 days telling you God testimonies. I can tell you times when I was trusting God, didn't tell anybody, and my wife and I go to a coffee shop, and a church calls me that I have no relationship with. Never have preached there one time. I don't even know who this church is. They called me and they said, the Lord put you on our heart and we took up an offering for you. And they blessed us supernaturally over and beyond. How? The Lord. Who put them on their heart? Who put us on their heart? Me calling, me making it happen, me hinting? No, the Lord spoke to that pastor. Not just once. This happened over and over again. But going back to California, going back to me living in Hollywood, we are trusting God. I'm putting our faith in the Lord. I woke up one morning and I hear in my spirit, that's where you hear the Lord, in your spirit. He'll speak to you. I heard this. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. This is what I hear. Are you sure it was the voice of the Lord? It was the voice of the Lord. When I heard it, I had such peace. I had such comfort. I had such excitement. You know, the devil's not going to quote, wake you up in the morning and give you a scripture. It was the Lord. I was excited. I told Destiny, I said, the Lord spoke to me. I heard him clear. I heard him. It was like audible. This is what I heard. And then I knew it was in the Word, but I didn't know much about it. So I started to study it. So this is what I heard. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16 says this: a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great people. That's what I heard. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great people. It's not you making room. It's the gift in you by the Lord, by the anointing. And when you walk in the purity, when you seek first the kingdom of God, it says all these things will be added unto you. It says when you seek first Hebrews, the kingdom of God, Hebrews 11, it says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You must know when you go to the Lord, he will reward you. He will bless you. But we're talking about a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great people. That's what I heard. So the gift that's in you, you watching, you tuning in, it's making room for you. The gift God has put on the inside of me makes room for me. It's doing it itself, not me trying to make it happen. No, the gift in me from the Lord makes room for me, and it brings me before great men. That's why we have to have wisdom, because once we get into those doors where there's no way we can get into, how do we operate? How do we handle this opportunity? Do we mess it up? Or do we say, just, pressed into the Lord and just say, wow, Lord, only you can do this. So the gift in us, in me, makes room for me and brings me before great men. I told Destiny, the Lord spoke to me. He said, the gift in me is making room for me. It's bringing me before great men. It so encouraged me. It talks about in Philippians being confident of this very thing, that he that began a good work in you. So God's began a good work in you. You watching, you being a part, you tuning in, God has begun a good work in you. And guess what? He is going to perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Who's going to perform it? Jesus. The gift in you makes room for you and brings you before great men. He that began a good work in you, God, Jesus, he's going to perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Not us trying to make it happen. No, the Lord. Think about it. You can try to perform it. You can try to make it happen, or you can allow Jesus, you can allow the Holy Spirit, the anointing to perform it, to perfect it. I don't know about you. I want that. I want to get out of the way and I want to say, Lord, have your way in my life. You that began this good work in me, Lord, you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Let it be a performance where only you get the glory. Where it won't be man, it won't be flesh, but it will be under the anointing. It will be under the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I sense such the anointing on that. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for that. So the Lord spoke that to me. This is several years ago. Lord, the gift in you, Brandon, it's going to make room for you. You're not going to have to try to make it happen, but it's going to make room for you. It's going to bring you before great men. And it has. Even us getting connected, it was over a year and a half ago. We felt led to go to Pastor Rodney Howard Brown's. We go, we sit in the back. We're happy to be there. A person comes up to us, recognizes me, and says this, do they know you're here? I kind of chuckled and laughed. Next thing you know, we're in the front, second row. We're in the second row. What? A man's gift makes room for him, brings him before great men. Then Pastor Rodney pulls us out, prays for us. We get touched by the Lord. Next thing you know, we spend the next 2 days with him in his office talking to him. How did that happen? Did Brandon make that happen? Did I go to the meeting trying with my motive, how can I make this happen? Who can I talk to? No, the Lord did that. What? The gift in me makes room for me and brings me before great men. I saw that scripture come to life. And then this time, we just got back literally today. We got to be with him, got to have lunch and everything. I cannot make this happen. You can't make this happen. No one else can try to make it happen because I see other people trying to make it happen. I see people go about it by the flesh. What can I do? How can I get their attention? And it doesn't work. It doesn't bear fruit. But when you're pure, when you're under the anointing of God, when you're submitted to the Lord, when your eyes are focused on him, he will open up doors. He will make ways for you that you cannot do it yourself. Only the Lord. What? That scripture, the gift that is in me, God, he makes room for me and it brings me before great men. The Lord spoke to me. He said this, Brandon, I'll have you walk through doors that no one could walk through. There's no way you can make yourself walk through those doors, but it's only me and the anointing of God and the gift I put on you. And I'll allow you to walk through these doors. And he has. Not too long ago, I was at a meeting, this powerful, very well-known minister, someone I look up to, ministry. He called me out, prayed for me, had me on the stage with him ministering, had dinner with him for 3 hours after, sat next to him, talked to him. Do you think I blabbed the whole time? No, I'm quiet. I've been in those situations when there's kids my age and they're there and they're talking about themselves the whole entire time. It's so awkward. It's so strange. No, I'm there and I'm watchful what I say. And I'm saying, Lord, I'll have whatever you want me to have. I receive from you. This is just your vessel. This man, this woman's a vessel of the Lord. But while I'm here, Father God, I take this. I receive what you have for me. And you just got to be, you can do it, like other people. But man, I trust the Lord. He made it happen. And I don't want to get in the way where my flesh gets in the way. And I start talking and I start blabbing and it messes it up. Because God can open up doors for you and bring you before people. But your flesh, you can mess it up. And I don't want that. And usually those people pick up on that. They've seen it all. When you've been in 50, been in ministry for 50 to 60 years or 40 to 50 years, you see it all. You've been around the block a few times. You know things. They can smell out whatever people are trying to do. So you just got to make sure in everything that your motive is a pure motive and you're submitted to the Lord. Thank God for men and women of God who's anointed and they're doing great things. That's awesome. But we look to the Lord and we just don't want to get in these we don't want to have these opportunities happen for us and then we get in the way and we mess it up. No. Thank God I've been brought up that way. Hey, when you're around these people, you don't talk unless they talk to you. You don't brag about them yourself. No. They talk to you, you answer. You just real quick answers. We had dinner. We were in the back. We had dinner with Destiny and I just a couple days ago with this pastor in Georgia and this other minister, very well-known people. And we're there and they were asking me questions and I was answering them. It's not like you don't answer. I was answering their questions. And then we're just listening. You know, when you listen, especially when you're a younger minister, and you're around older preachers or old, you could say more seasoned ministers, you need to listen because there's things you can learn. That's what I do. When I hear people talk, I'm listening. I'm always listening. What can I learn from this? Oh, wow. What they just said encouraged me. Oh, wow. Not just me. I'm not the only one that experienced that, but he experiences that. That's fun. That's funny. There was this evangelist sitting there. And the pastor at the table is like, hey, you need to come to my church. You need to come to my church. And the evangelist was like, okay. Okay. But he wasn't really saying much. And finally the pastor is like, no, seriously, I want you to. And then the evangelist spoke up. This guy's been ministering for 40 years, the evangelist. He goes, you know how many times pastors told me that, but I've never committed? My whole life, people have told me that. And now I don't really respond. He said, I made a decision. If they really want me to speak at their church, they'll find me. They'll get my number. They'll message me on my website. And the pastor goes, no, I'm not going to. I really want you to. And then he invited me and his wife goes, well, make sure if you tell them, you got to make sure you invite them. So I was laughing. I'm like, hey, it's not just, me as a younger minister. I've witnessed that a lot. But here's someone that's seasoned, that's been in it for 40 years. And he's experienced that. So I kind of laughed. And then the pastor next to me, he's so funny. He goes, if you're praying about a certain thing, you as a husband, you can pray and fast for 3 days, or you can just listen to your wife. So he's just giving me little pointers. So I, when you're a younger minister and you're around people that have experience and the experience is something you can't buy. It's precious. You be quiet and you listen. And what I do is I go inside. I just soak up the anointing. I don't talk unless I am, talked to. Pastor Rodney comes behind me and talks to me, puts his arms on me and just sharing. What am I doing? Am I trying to talk? No, I'm just sitting there like this. And I'm just like, oh, Lord, I receive from you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not saying it out loud. I'm like, I love you, Lord. I worship you. I treasure you. Wow, Lord, only you. What you told me, a man's gift makes room for him, brings him before great men. This is that scripture coming to life. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing, being respectful. And hallelujah. And it's so vital. So, so vital. Praise you, Jesus. Pure motives. I meet a lot of people, a lot of younger guys, girls, they want to be ministers. Why do you want to be a minister? What's your motive? Why do you want to be a preacher? You feel like it's the call of the Lord on your life? Or do you feel like you just want to be seen or known or talk in the microphone? What's your motive? God knows your motives. God knows your heart. People say that a lot. Well, God knows my heart. That's not something to take lightly. He knows your heart. You want to be a minister. You want to be a preacher of the Lord because you know God has called me to. This, the hand of the Lord's on me. This is what I know I'm supposed to do. Not because I have a motive of I want to be seen or I want to be on TV or I want to be well known. That's all flesh. That's all junk. The motive is to tell people about Jesus. The motive is you love Jesus with all your heart and he's changed your life first personally. You have been personally touched by the Lord. That's why I wanted to be a minister. I knew the Lord called me, but I knew, Lord, the way you touched my life, I want people to experience that same touch. I want them to realize and to know that you are real and you are living. There's a lot of people that are in ministry for wrong motives. No, the motives have to be pure. It's about the Lord. It's about his people. Hallelujah. To experience breakthrough. To experience victory. Hallelujah. I want us to look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And if you got blessed, if you're getting blessed, there's Jamie. Thanks for watching, Jamie. If you got blessed, let me know. Maybe I'll do a few parts to this because there's so much. I don't want to be on here for 3 hours. Maybe I'll do a few different parts because there's so much. And this is something from personal experience that, you know, my wife and I have been in ministry for 7 years full time. That's what we do. We have to believe God for thousands and thousands of dollars a month. We sow a lot of money. We do a lot of things. How did it happen? How did it work for us? It's by these principles. I'm telling you, it's so, so vital. It's not just something I'm telling you. It's something that I've experienced. It's something I'm living. I'm growing in this. And not to go about it, you know, in a weird way, but make sure it's a pure way. And, you know, the Lord makes it happen. He that began the good work, he's going to perform it. And you want to make sure that it's of the Lord, not you, you know, your flesh trying to make things happen, because it's going to burn more bridges than build them. You don't want to be that person where you're, you know, that one person that comes in the room and they go, oh, there's so-and-so. He's a funny guy. He's always funny. He always wants to do this. And someone that always tries to push and to kick down doors, someone that always tries to pull what they can pull. No, you want to be that person. When you walk in the room, they go, whoa, that person's, I sense the anointing of God on him. He's so full of joy. He's happy. He's so non-religious. I like to be around him. One of the best compliments I've had was one of Destiny's family members. And they were like second or third cousin, I'm not sure. But I was talking to him. And now we were talking about something. It wasn't about the Lord. We're talking about sports or whatever. And, you know, and then after, I guess that cousin told some one of his family members and said this, even Brandon's a minister, but he's so genuine, so cool, and so full of love. That's what it's about right there. And I had that happen a lot. The guy that cuts my hair, great guy. But he told me, he said, I have people that come in here and try to preach to me all the time. He goes, I don't listen to them. He said, when you come in here, I listen to everything you say. Jesus is real. It's authentic. Ministry is not something you turn on and turn off. It's a 24-hour day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I go about every day preparing like I'm going to minister. Oh, I don't look at it like, oh, I'm preaching tonight. I got to pray. No, I pray every day. I pray like I'm going to preach tonight. Why? Because my motive when I study the Word of God, my motive is when I pray, it's not for me just to be preaching. So I can be under a heavy anointing, have a strong anointing in my life. No, I pray. I spend time in the Word because I love Jesus. I love Jesus. If you said, Brandon, you'll never speak again with a microphone in front of people, my life would not change. I would still do this, still read the word. I would still worship the Lord. Why? Because I love Jesus. He is my everything. He's my all in all. I don't do it to talk in front of people. I don't do it so I can be liked by people. I do it because I want people to experience the presence of the Lord, the hand of the Lord, what I experience. Because I've heard it all. I used to memorize sermons. I heard every sermon. But when you're around the anointing, when you're around the presence of God, that's what changes your life. That's what changed my life. And I want people's lives to be changed. I'm tired of people that were in church and they're not in church anymore and they're serving the devil. It's a lie. Oh, you know, people turned their backs on me. People hurt me. No. Hey, Jesus gave his back for you. Everyone turned on Jesus. His own disciples turned on him. He gave his back for you. Don't let anything affect your relationship with the Lord. I don't care if I met every pastor that came at me, was mean to me, cussed me out. I don't care and told me I'm mean, I'm weird. You'll never amount to anything. I would never say, Jesus, I can't believe you did that to me. No, I would say, Lord, I love you. I worship you. One thing I guard above anything, is my relationship with the Lord. Because when we stand before the Lord, I'm going to stand before him and look into his eyes. I'm not going to have people with me. You're not going to have those haters with you. You're not going to have those family members with you that are mean to you. I'm going to look into his eyes. And I'm not going to say, people affected my relationship with you. And I stopped serving you because I was hurt by people. I'm going to be like Paul. Hey, all the stuff is dung to me. Nothing matters. Only you matter. You matter. My wife matters. My kids matter. My family, that's what matters. But you're my priority. You are my number one. Not people. You're my number one. And I love you. I'm not going to let. The number one thing I guard is my fellowship with the Lord. My relationship with him. I won't let no one get in the way of that. I guard it above everything, my relationship with the Lord, because that's all that matters. You're not going to take your clothes with you to heaven. You're not going to take physical things. It's good to have that stuff. It's great. But my number one thing is the Lord, him. And I guard that. And I'm tired of hearing people, young people, old people, oh, I served the Lord and then I got hurt. I got discouraged. No, come on. That's an attack of the enemy. He's going to try everything. That's a fiery dart of the enemy. And you allow that fiery dart to hit you. You allow that fiery dart to penetrate you. No, what do? You quench it with the shield of faith. You keep on going. You keep trusting God. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. I worship you. What's your motive? My motive in ministry is not to preach behind a microphone. My motive is to love the Lord. Let people's lives get touched by the Holy Spirit. Experience healing, miracles, breakthroughs. Let people come to you. Let people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. If one person gets baptized, we've had that. We've had many, many, many. I was just with the pastor actually yesterday, and he told me, he said, man, my daughter, I had everyone pray for my daughter to receive the Holy Spirit, to pray in other tongues. Nothing happened. And he goes, you were there preaching, and you talked about it, and she got baptized. She prays in tongues now. Her life's completely changed. She's graduated college now, on fire for the Lord. He's like amazed by that. Hey, that's worth it right there. That young girl's life, people getting saved and miracles. That's what it's about. Hallelujah. It's not about you being known. It's not about you, which that comes or whatever, but it's not about you talking in a microphone, you making yourself look cool. I'm not about that. It's all junk. That's all culture. That's all trying for the world to like you. No. Hallelujah. We serve an audience of one, Jesus. It's about people's lives. when I go preach at, you know, churches or meetings, when I get up there, I'm scanning the room. I'm looking at people. And when I'm preaching, I'm looking in their eyes. And I'm preaching with authority. And I'm seeing what the anointing is doing. And if it's touching someone's life, I call them up. Come here. Pray for them. Power God. Well, I want their life to be completely changed. So talking about motives, like I said, maybe I'll make this a few part series. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I sense that's the anointing of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let me look here. With the scripture talking about how the Lord spoke to Samuel, he said, I don't look at man the way men look at him. I don't look at the outward appearance. So here's the Lord saying, I don't look at men like how natural people look. I don't look at that outward appearance. What does he look at? I look at the heart. That's why your motives and ministry and in life have to be pure motives. What's your motive? Your motive is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Your motives can't be mixed up. Why? Because with God, he sees things naked. He sees the heart. He doesn't see the outward appearances. Look at the outward appearance, how cool you think you are. He looks at your heart. What separated David from everyone else, his brothers, when naturally he shouldn't even, you know, he's the youngest. He shouldn't be the next king, but God overlooked all that. Why? Because his heart. He saw his heart. He saw him in the field. He saw him worshiping the Lord, and his heart was a pure heart. I'm going to look at Psalms chapter 89. Praise you, Lord. 89 verse 20. Psalms 89 verse 20. I have found David. Here's the Lord. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. My hand shall be established. My arm shall strengthen him. So what? David, God found David. So what was God looking for? God's still looking today. God's searching. He's not searching at the outward appearance. He's not searching out how popular you are. No, God, it said God found him. He was looking at the heart. God was looking at the heart, and it said God found David. We read earlier how God does not look at man the way men look at men, at the outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. Praise you, Jesus. He looks at the heart. That's why we have to have a pure motive. Not any other reason, but because we love the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I sense such the presence of the Lord. Psalms chapter 27, verse 13. I had fainted. David said this. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What? I would have quit. I would have given up. But I had faith. What is faith? Assurance. I will see the hand of the Lord. I will see his goodness. I will see his blessings. Without faith in this life, you and I cannot make it. David said, I would have quit. I would have gotten discouraged. I would have stopped. But I had faith and I knew and I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord. And I want to encourage you, without faith, like I said, you cannot make it. You believe in the Lord with all your heart. You're making a way for me where there is no way. You're allowing me to go through doors that I can't do it. It's not me trying to establish it. It's not me trying to make it happen. No, I put my faith in you. And if you don't put your faith in God, you will not make it. David said that I would have quit. I would have fainted. I would have been discouraged. I know a lot of people that quit, that get discouraged, that start serving the enemy. Why? Because their faith wasn't in the Lord. And if you're a person that does things where you're trying to make it happen, flesh, 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 you're trying to establish the connections, you're trying to kick down the doors, you're trying to open up doors that shouldn't be open, when you're talking to people and there's a wrong motive behind it because you want what they have, and you're using the terminology, and you know what I'm talking about, it's because your faith is not in God. 100%, because if your faith is truly in God, you would not act that way. Your faith is not in the Lord. Faith gives you assurance. Faith gives you a rest. My life, I have a rest. I have assurance. Lord, you're making a way for me. The right places to minister. The right opportunities. Faith is at rest. When you're the opposite, when you're driven and you're drived every day, what I can do, it's because you're not in faith. It says in the scripture, let another man praise you, not you. Well, let another man talk about you. I've been around some of the biggest preacher pastors, and I had great times with them, fellowship. And they asked me, hey, won't you come preach at my church? So-and-so told me about you. That pastor told me all about you, bragged about you. And I'm thinking, wow, Lord, that's scriptural. Not me bragging about myself, but other person, other pastor. I went to their church. You got to have Brandon. You got to have Brandon. Here's this big time pastor saying, hey, Pastor so-and-so told me all about you. We were at lunch with a good friend of mine. We've known each other on social media, first time meeting. He goes, hey, Pastor so-and-so told me about you. I got to have you come to my young adults. What? That's scriptural. That's not me bragging about myself. That's another pastor. Let another man praise you. Another pastor saying, hey, Brandon, he's authentic. He's young, but he has the goods. You need to have him come. That's scriptural. It's not the opposite. One is walking in faith. The other is not walking in faith. I want to encourage you, walk in faith. Make sure your motives are pure, holy, and that you live completely submitted to the Lord. Faith gives you assurance. Faith gives you rest. Faith gives you confidence in the Lord. The opposite, you trying to make it happen, it won't last. You're going to faint. You're going to give up. You're going to be that woman. You're going to be that guy that comes in the room and everyone knows how you are, how you handle yourself. And you're going to burn down bridge after bridge. And you're going to break down door after door. And it's not going to be good. And one is a lifestyle of faith where you trust God, where he makes a way where there is no way, where he that began that good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. When you know all these things will be added unto you, seek first the kingdom of God. That's one way. The opposite way is when you're not doing that and you're forcing it all. And it won't be fruitful. It won't be prosperous. It'll be struggle, 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 no abundance. My wife and I live in abundance. We live blessed. Do we preach all the time like some people I know? No, but the Lord blesses us supernaturally. This is something I can speak on and experience. Maybe I'll do more sessions on this. If you want me to, let me know in the comments. But I love you. And Lord, I thank you for the people watching live and the replays. Bless your people. Thank you for the anointing of God, the presence of the Lord. We love you, Lord. We treasure you. We worship you. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Amen. If you got blessed, you can comment in the comments that you got blessed. Praise hand, clap hands. Phoebe, prayer hands. Praise you, Lord. If you're watching on YouTube and Facebook, go to our YouTube. Subscribe, like, love you, Brother Julio. Let's get together soon. Yeah, let us know, comment in the emojis, whatever. And then subscribe to our YouTube channel, His Name Ministries. Appreciate you, Brother Chris. Welcome you in Pakistan. Awesome, awesome. Praise you, Lord. So if you're watching the replays, let us know you got blessed, where you're watching from. We love you. We thank God for you. Maybe we'll continue this. Maybe I'll do this more often. Because there's so much on the topic. It's a vital thing. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. So thank you for watching. See you next time.
Thank you for checking out our podcast. For more information on His Name Ministries, check out our website at hisnameministries.com or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Have a blessed day.